What is left to do in the search for Iraqi unconventional weapons, and why would doing it cost $600 million? We're going to ask Charles Delfer, who was Deputy Executive Chair of the UN Special Commission on Iraq, or UNSCOM, from 1993 until 2000. And Charles Delfer, first, I wonder if you can shed some light on this $600 million figure, by way of comparison, UNMOVIC, the reincarnated Iraqi weapons search that Hans Blix ran, cost about $60 million a year, and we're told that the International Atomic Energy Agency, for all of its global work monitoring atomic weapons and atomic operations, spends about $265 million a year. $600 million?
Well, that's a lot of money, and I think there's probably a couple of reasons about why the number is so large. The first is that there is a large level of effort. There are many more people than either UNSCOM or its successor UNMOVIC had involved in inspections. Another reason is that many of the resources which were used by both UNSCOM and UNMOVIC were provided by countries gratis. For example, the salaries of many of the staffers on UNSCOM's team were paid by supporting governments. But I think a second reason is that many of the supporting costs which are associated with moving the American inspectors around, such as helicopters and security, are being built into this figure. In other words, the Pentagon, I think, is charging off some of their equipment and protection forces to this number. All that being said, it's still a lot of money.
And the way you see it, what should the U.S. start doing with that money right now? What's a sensible way of still looking for evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq?
Well, the task which remains is to build a very verifiable assessment of what Saddam had. In many ways, it's exactly the same task that the UN levied on Iraq. Now that burden is on the United States. This will involve a number of things, but one is to go through all of the documents which have been gathered by soldiers and by various pieces of the U.S. government.
Have U.S. forces done a good job of assembling that information and putting it in some form that they can investigate now?
It's my understanding that this has been done in a non-methodical way. I mean, U.S. forces who are certainly not all experts in weapons of mass destruction in the Iraqi programs would go into buildings and they would find file cabinets, they would dump them into boxes or even garbage bags and haul them off to some central location. Now, when genuine experts and linguists look at them, they're going to have to go sorting through them, do some kind of analysis on whether they're relevant or not relevant, and given the volume of this, this is going to be an enormously time-consuming task, but unfortunately one that has to be done.
How do you personally reconcile the idea that there may have been a real threat, which you believe there was, with the fact that after several months, nothing, zero, seems to have been turned up, either in the form of a weapon or a document or something that somebody has told a U.S. Interrogator that furthers our knowledge of there having been such a threat?
Well, it's a matter of whether there were existing weapons ready to fire or whether there was ongoing development programs within Iraq. And I think it's probably the latter that we're going to find the most of. Certainly there was a capability, that the scientists and the intellectual capital existed in Iraq. We did not lobotomize the scientists when we finished our inspection work. Clearly Saddam had an incentive to restart these programs, even if he put them in suspension for a while. So, I think the real question is how imminent was the threat, not, did it exist at all?
Mr. Delfer, thanks very much for talking with us once again.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Charles Delfer, who was Deputy Executive Chair of UNSCOM, the United Nations Special Commission on Iraq, from 1993 until 2000.